Hey there, my name's Jared Holt, and welcome to Shitpost. This is a podcast at the intersection of tech, politics, and culture. Every other week, I bring on someone who I think is doing interesting work or has an interesting perspective on current events. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast on the player of your choice and check out the newsletter. There's a link to that in the description. It's been a while since I've checked in on Alex Jones on this podcast, and today I intend to do just that. Alex and the whole InfoWars crew have been in the news again lately, this time regarding some developments in lawsuits filed against them quite a long time ago. I think it's safe to say things aren't exactly going well for the InfoWars crew. Today I'm excited to have on Sebastian Murdoch. He's a senior reporter for HuffPost, who has all but owned coverage of these lawsuits against Alex Jones and the InfoWars crew. I won't waste time with a monologue on this episode, and instead, I just want to go ahead and dive right in with Sebastian. My man, what's up?
How you doing, Jerry? Thanks for having me back.
Hey, man, I'm doing pretty good. It's rainy and gross here, but otherwise, no real complaints. My dog just had a birthday. That was exciting.
How old's your dog now?
Oh, he's two. He's two. He's,
oh man,
he's a big little guy.
So was that a pandemic decision?
Yeah, you know, my fiance and I had talked about getting a dog for a while, and you know, when everything went into lockdown and we got past a month or two, we just went ahead and, you know, did it, and it's been great, man. No regrets at all.
Yeah, dude. Well, the reason I ask is because my fiance and I went through the same exact thing, but with a cat. So now we have our little Pepperoni, and it's been great.
Pepperoni is your cat's name?
Yeah. Yep. She's a little hiss monster, but now she's a little cuddle bug. She's actually hanging out with me right now. So.
Oh, incredible. Pepperoni.
Life is good.
Pepperoni, it's an honor to have you on Shitpost this week.
Hell yeah, she's happy to be here.
All right, Sebastian, you've published some reporting recently on one of these lawsuits in particular, and the parents of Sandy Hook victims, I should say, in their lawsuit against Alex Jones have made a lot of headlines through the years. But this one that you recently reported on has not received the same kind of national press coverage that the Sandy Hook one has. So this recent report focused on a deposition that was given by Kit Daniels, who is an editor at InfoWars. And before we talk about that deposition a little bit more in depth, can you first walk listeners through the premise of that case and kind of how it's been going so far?
Yeah, absolutely. So to your point, a lot of media coverage has been focused on the Sandy Hook families, and well before those lawsuits happened, the first that had actually kind of popped up, one of the first that had popped up against Jones, was related to the 2018 Parkland school shooting in Florida, where Nicholas Cruz killed 17 people. And in this case, Kit Daniels, who is an editor at InfoWars, took an image from 4chan and decided to use that as proof that it was Nicholas Cruz. You know, it wasn't. It was, his name was Marcel Fontaine. He had nothing to do with the case, and yet his image was blasted all over InfoWars, and then all across the world, he got all kinds of threats, all kinds of harassments. Marcel Fontaine has never even been to Florida, but Kit Daniels went to 4chan. Keep in mind, too, this was actually hours after the shooting. When information is still coming out, you know, major media sources are still sort of scrambling to get the correct information. Kit Daniels goes to InfoWars, sees a photo of Marcel Fontaine, says it's Nicholas Cruz, puts it up on the website. So then months later, Marcel decides to sue Alex Jones, InfoWars, and Kit Daniels for defamation. So that case has kind of been on the back burner now for the past few years, and now it's sort of starting to resurface again with this deposition with Kit.
So, Kit Daniels, let's talk about that deposition. So, this deposition, the attorneys really drilled into him, you know, oh, you found this image on 4chan, and that was good enough for you, huh? And Kit Daniels actually ended up crying during this deposition. What was going on there? Because folks like Kit, folks like Alex, they always play it up so tough. You know, they are info warriors. They are fighting to put the truth out despite the odds, and they're these big crusaders. But when Kit was forced to sit down in a room and try to answer to what he had done, he seemed to just kind of lose his grip a bit.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, to be fair, I don't know if he had a grip on things to begin with.
That's fair.
This is a 37-year-old man who was not only an editor for InfoWars, but actually continues to work there and was actually promoted to managing editor after misidentifying Marcel Fontaine as the school shooter. As far as this deposition, I mean, it was certainly fascinating. The full 4-hour deposition you can find online, but he does break down and he does start crying for a good bit of it. They took a break and then came back. So we don't know how long he was sort of tearing up, or, you know, we also don't know, was that strategic to maybe garner some sympathy, or did he genuinely feel the impact of what he had done? I certainly can't answer to that, but either way, you know, he seemed to have regret what he did, whether he was crying for Marcel Fontaine and the damage that that caused, or whether Kit was just crying for himself because of the situation he's now found himself in. You know, we don't know which it could be, but he was certainly emotional. And, you know, that's still only a slice of the full deposition. For all of his attempts to, you know, apologize, and he did, he said that he regretted the decisions that he made that day. But in the deposition, he still defends InfoWars. You know, he still defends why he went to 4chan to find that image. You know, he explains that he's not a journalist, but then engages in the kind of behavior that he wants people to sort of legitimize him and legitimize InfoWars as a place to get information, which, of course, you know, is patently false and absurd. But my point is that despite crying, he is still clearly carrying water for InfoWars.
And I think it's really interesting because I imagine that the attorneys in that case will want to argue that this was, you know, even despite the crying, despite the expressed regret, that this was kind of a reckless disregard for the truth. And also something that struck me, I was really happy you included this part in your article, where, you know, essentially he's questioned over a different story he wrote or that InfoWars published that was, you know, oh, look at this mainstream media falling for a 4chan hoax. That's exactly what he did. This isn't the first time that InfoWars has done this. There was a period in time where you could count on InfoWars to essentially just regurgitate 4chan for like a quarter of its online content. You know, the other three quarters being advertisements for whatever weird iodine supplements or whatever. I just think that's really interesting because sort of what Kit was speaking to there is not just an isolated incident, but rather kind of, I guess I just think it's kind of interesting sort of to see that reaction when this has been a pattern for so long.
Well, and that's sort of why we have to be skeptical. This is InfoWars, you know. He still works there. Maybe they are crocodile tears. In that deposition, he makes the argument that, you know, I don't really know what 4chan is. And we know that that is simply false because, as you pointed out, a year before that, Kit Daniels wrote a headline blaming the BBC for falling for a 4chan prank. So he knows what 4chan is. He knows the context there. And it was the first place he went to try to find information about this case. So for him to then sort of, you know, do this, "Aw shucks, I didn't know any better," is probably bullshit.
Speaking of depositions, Alex Jones made some headlines recently for not showing up to a deposition generally. I guess he had some, the way I understand it is he had some sort of weird doctor's note that said, you know, he can't do this deposition because he has this, mysterious illness and he can't be under stress. And meanwhile, he's still hosting InfoWars on camera, doing the same shtick. And for people who haven't sat down and really watched InfoWars, if you are watching it and following along with it closely, it's a pretty stressful program, I think would be the light way to put it, right?
Yeah.
So in that case, a judgment has already been reached. The parents of Sandy Hook victims that sued Alex were found in the right. They won that case on default, or whatever the legal jargon is. Essentially, Alex just didn't participate in the legal process, and the judge, after giving him all the time in the world, eventually just said, you know what, the plaintiffs win, and now the trial is about how much money they're going to get to collect from Alex.
That's right.
So, I mean, what's going on here, man? And I also saw some news that there was, I guess, Alex, after all of this, now is trying to settle the case, and the plaintiffs really aren't having any of it.
Yeah, I don't want to get into the head of Alex Jones, because I respect my own sanity too much to try to do that. But it does seem that Alex is sort of feels like he's being backed into a corner and now is sort of taking out a flamethrower and just seeing what he can burn as quickly as possible. As you said, he's already lost these Sandy Hook lawsuits. He lost all four cases, all through default judgment, from two separate judges who both independently, decided that he had lost these cases because he refused to produce discovery documents. Discovery documents are a pretty common thing in civil lawsuits, right? If you are suing someone else, you ask for all the information that you have on file. That includes emails, bank statements, conversations that were written down. And Alex decided to produce none of that. So he didn't even lose because of the merits of the case, though I'm sure he certainly would have lost that as well. He lost because he didn't even want to play ball.
Yeah, it didn't even get that far.
Right.
Because he just completely disengaged from the process. Meanwhile, his lawyers were trying to pull every weird ass legal trick, and were just failing over and over again.
Yeah, and so now it seems like he's sort of trying to do that again with these delay tactics. I think it's almost one of those things where it's like, if he doesn't acknowledge it, it doesn't exist, right? But it does exist. It's still happening. And now he's going to have to pay even more money for skipping out on depositions. He previously had to pay $100,000 to one of the families of Sandy Hook because of his failure to provide discovery. This was before he lost the lawsuit. So he had already decided a long time ago, you know, I will pay X amount of money to not have to do this. There was actually a hearing today with Judge Barbara Bellis, and that's the judge based out of Connecticut who's sort of been dealing with Alex's antics. And she said today that he's got till April 15th to do two full days of depositions. Otherwise, he's going to be fined $25,000 every weekday until that date. Who knows if Alex decides that, okay, I'm actually going to do the deposition, or if he doesn't. If he doesn't, that might open up an avenue for a judge to get a lot more serious, and that sort of escalation could even lead to Alex's arrest. The lawyers for the Sandy Hook families are fed up with him, and now the judge in Connecticut, I think, is also getting fed up with him. When Alex Jones decided he didn't want to go to those depositions, he said that he had a mystery illness. Days later, on his show, he said it was a sinus infection. And, you know, I get sinus infections sometimes, too. It's not going to get me out of the sort of legal trouble that Alex is in. But these are the sort of, I think, last minute maneuvers he's attempting to make when he knows that he's lost.
It's just so bizarre, especially, you know, the figure that I guess he and his lawyers came up with, $120,000 to, you know, each parent that was suing him. And obviously, after all of this, you know, I certainly can't fault those parents for saying absolutely not. $120,000 doesn't even cover this. Because as these lawsuits drag out, it not only gets more expensive for Alex, it gets more expensive for the people who are suing Alex, because they have to pay all these legal fees and hire lawyers to chase around this nonsense.
Right.
It's still just so hard for me to wrap my head around where his head is at. And
yeah, it's hard to know.
Yeah, and like you, I have too much respect for myself to really fully try to do that, you know?
Well, it's hard to know, too, why he chose $120,000 when previously he had to pay $100,000 himself just for failing to provide discovery documents. He knows how much money, you know, this costs, and he knows how little that is. Now, of course, no amount of money is ever going to undo the damage that Jones has caused the Sandy Hook families. But $120,000 is an insultingly low number for relatives who want real accountability.
Yeah, especially the potential, if, you know, these plaintiffs see it through the end, you know, it is not unthinkable to imagine they would receive a lot more money than that in damages, on particularly in this one of those Sandy Hook lawsuits, which they've already won.
Right.
It's just totally bizarre. Sebastian, you've been covering these trials against Alex Jones, against the broader InfoWars extended universe for a while now. Court cases always take forever, but this one really feels like it's dragging on. And I'm curious, as somebody who has kind of been on top of this since the beginning, if you had any thoughts just about, I guess, the whole process of this, like how this whole thing has been evolving, or I guess maybe rather not evolving. It's like watching grass grow if the grass is dead.
Yeah. Well, so part of that is just sort of, you know, the legal mechanisms at play. Things like this can take years, and they often do, but it hasn't been helped by Alex's constant antics. You know, his inability to take any sort of responsibility or even show up. And when I say show up, I mean that literally. You know, he can't even show up to a deposition. That drags out the entire process. And so there are numerous examples of this happening over the years, right? So I think part of why it's going slow is because of Alex himself. And that's also why judges end up being fed up with him. It's why he lost to these default judgments. The judges said, you don't want to play by the rules. You don't want to give your court order documents. Fine, you've lost. I don't know. I don't think Alex was expecting that. And now, you know, he's got, I think his first trial will take place in Austin at the end of April. And I think the closer we get to that, the more frantic he seems to be behaving. And so now, you know, who knows what's going to happen with these other cases? Could we see Alex Jones get arrested? I don't know. And I think he could easily avoid getting arrested if he wanted to. But then he could have easily avoided all of this if he wanted to.
Right. So as we're sort of on the downslope of this episode, I do want to kind of get to the question of, so what? You know, even if, you know, I'll start by acknowledging that Alex Jones is a millionaire. He has become very wealthy doing what it is that he does. InfoWars has brought in kind of a shocking amount of money from their sales on their web store of supplements, preparedness supplies. I remember when I heard how much money that was exactly, my jaw kind of hit the floor, because it was quite a bit more than I expected it to be.
It was I wrote the story. He made his store made a profit of $165 million in sales over a period of 3 years.
Yeah, just baffling. Utterly baffling. So even if these lawsuits, say every lawsuit against him right now wins and InfoWars is slapped with this bill for something humongous, like a collective, I don't know, $50 million or something. I'm just pulling this number out of the air, I should be clear. I don't know that I see this toppling the InfoWars empire entirely. One, because it has so much money. And two, because I think that, you know, over the this period of time that these lawsuits have been playing out, InfoWars has really kind of changed and almost adapted a little bit. The operation increasingly seems to me less dependent on Alex's personality. And even if Alex is taken down, even if InfoWars gets slapped with this enormous bill, I kind of think that Alex has been successful in a degree to cultivating the next generation of InfoWarriors to take his sort of, it would be generous to call it a philosophy, but his mindset, I guess.
His grift.
His grift. Yeah, it's to run that out to the next step. Like, there's this guy, Greg Reese, who's a producer for InfoWars, and he's making videos that are just, even on Alex's platform, slam dunking through Alex's own metrics, right? So there's enough people in the InfoWars roster. There's people like Candace Owens, who got her start on InfoWars, or her big break on InfoWars, you know, ascending to power constantly. It's, in some ways, and this is very depressing to say, it almost feels like this sort of, like what Alex represents doesn't even really need Alex to be around anymore.
Yeah, I think that's right. And, you know, it's easy to become cynical when we've seen how much people like Alex Jones or, you know, even people like Candace Owens have profited from this. What I think, you know, optimistically, what I think or what I hope happens is that this will send a message to other, you know, whether they're conspiracy theorists or grifters, but it will send a message to other people with a platform, you know, what's the phrase? Fuck around and find out.
Oh, yeah.
So they will, I think, find out. I think as we start to see this accountability take shape, once Alex is sitting in a courtroom, I think people are going to see that and they're going to think to themselves, you know, maybe I shouldn't push it that far. And then on top of that, you know, whether or not this is going to ultimately make Alex Jones bankrupt or destitute, I have no idea. We don't know how much money he actually has and how much he'll end up having to give away.
All those silver Trump coins, you can't forget those. I'm sure those are just going up, up, up in value.
Well, I got a few myself, buddy. I'm ready.
And once the Iraqi dinar is revalued, oh, buddy.
But you know, I think it's not just going to be – it's not just a money thing that we should look at with Alex specifically. My thinking is that this could open the door to other lawsuits against Alex for countless other times he may have defamed someone. And the reason that I believe that is because that's actually how the Sandy Hook lawsuits got started in part. A Sandy Hook parent saw that the Parkland – defendant Marcel Fontaine, who was misidentified as a Parkland shooter, they saw that he sued Alex for defamation, and so then this Sandy Hook parent thought, okay, well, let's go. So, you know, whether or not that we end up seeing other lawsuits come out of it, I don't necessarily know. But when you have that kind of attention that says he messed up and now he's getting punished for it, you know, that opens the door for all kinds of legal troubles for him.
Well, Sebastian, we're getting down to the end here. Do you have any parting thoughts to leave with listeners on these lawsuits? I'll link to your reporting, your stories at HuffPost on some of the most recent developments that have happened since the last time I covered Alex on the show. But yeah, just general takeaways. I would be eager to hear them.
Yeah, I mean, general takeaway, you know, much like we were discussing, we can't possibly know what is going on in that soup brain of his. But what we do know is that this is a reaction to bad things happening to him. He feels that he's cornered and he's sort of lashing out and, you know, becoming a little more aggressive in terms of, you know, talking about these lawsuits, being upset, trying to blame the deep state. And I think what we're seeing in Alex is a bit of fear, which is something new, I think. And what happens from here is going to be really interesting. I think the next big thing that we are going to have to look forward to is this trial. He's going to be in Austin, Texas at the end of April, beginning of May, to answer for what he did to these parents. And then a jury is going to decide not if he wins or loses the case because he's already lost, but how much money he'll have to pay to them. And that will be a very satisfying thing.
The arc of history is slow but bends towards justice, I guess, as they say. I don't know if I always believed that, but in this case, it did seem...
It appears we're going that way, you know? And whether that means the end of Alex Jones, I really doubt it. But I think it's going to be a big victory for everyone else and a pretty big loss for him.
I've been talking with Sebastian Murdoch. He's a senior reporter for HuffPost. I'll have a link to his Twitter account, where to read his stuff, down in the description of this episode, per usual. Sebastian, what's your favorite thing on the internet right now?
Oh, man. My favorite thing on the internet is watching Elden Ring videos, because I will never play that game.
Yeah, I see like so many people talking about it and posting about it, but I really have like... I feel like I could watch one of those videos and just have no idea what's going on.
Oh, really? See, I'm super into it. I love it, but it's like it's too hard. It's too difficult. And I, you know, I consider myself a gamer, but I'm a 32-year-old man who can't be yelling at his television screen every time I die to the same boss 10 times. My fiance hates it, so I can't, for my own sanity, I can't play Elden Ring, but I love watching it on Twitch and YouTube clips.
My favorite thing on the internet this week is the impending release of a new album from Pop. I've been watching the music videos, you know, checking them out online, reading interviews. It's one of my favorite bands. I'm going to go see them this weekend, and...
I'm so excited for you. This is, you said, you were telling me this is your first show since the pandemic, right?
Yeah, this will be the first one. Pup was actually the last band I saw before the pandemic started and like shutdown happened. And I'm, you know, maybe jinxing myself, but I was telling somebody today, I'm, you know, charging quartz crystals, throwing salt over my shoulder, spinning around in circles, aligning myself with the sun. But maybe,
yeah,
maybe if I go see Pup again, the pandemic will end.
Bro, it honestly, it won't, but it'll feel like it has for that moment. You know, I've seen Pup live and they're just like the most energetic, you know, it's so much fun. And also just live shows. In 2021, after I got vaccinated, me and my fiance, I think we saw 7 concerts last year, just because, you know, that's my favorite drinking activity. I love to drink, not have to talk to anyone else, and just jam out. It's a wonderful time.
Here, I can be down with that. Sebastian, thanks for coming on Shitpost this week.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. Love you, bud.
Love you too.